Well, I hope you've had a good week. Coming, we're roaring in now to where we can see the end of September coming. And I don't know, something about the end of September and moving into October, it's like it's inevitable, fall is finally around the corner. And all the changes that come with that, weather-wise and schedule-wise. And one of the things that we've done from time to time is focused on changing our focus is a better way of saying it. So that we're not so focused on us, but that we focus on who we are in a larger world context. So I want to do that today. I want to show you a resource that's available to us that I had never found before. We've talked about in the past stories of people in other parts of the world who are suffering, who are struggling for their simple fact that they believe in Jesus. So today I want to introduce you to some situations, and I want us to pray. But I want to show, even more than just doing that, I want to show you a new vehicle that I found that has a really good presentation of what's going on in the world. Okay, we've talked about Voice of the Martyrs before, that being a great resource. Well, what I'm going to show you today is as good, if not better, at presenting a full range of what's going on in the world. It is called opendoorsusa.org, and John's going to pop it up there for us. The first thing that I want to show you, some of you are familiar with a gentleman who's done a lot of cross-border, I will call it missionary work, but getting of moving biblical materials, Bible study materials across national lines. His name's Brother Andrew. He is sort of connected to this group, and there are several videos. If you were to look through the website, you would see his name, and you would see several videos interviewing him and him talking about what's going on in the world. Where I want to focus this morning is give you, first of all, a picture of what's going on in the world, and I want to show you a resource that they have that will allow you to see that. So once you go to Open Doors, if you were to go to the tab up at the top that says Newsroom, it will take you to some stories, but the thing that I want you to see is you see where it says World Watch List up there at the top tab. Once you get to Newsroom, if you click on that, it will give you a list. If you scroll down, it will tell you the top 50 countries in the world where persecution is rampant or is engaged. Obviously, the number one on the list at this point is North Korea. You know, to be a believer in North Korea and for that to be known literally means not only will you be persecuted, but it very well means you are going to be losing your life very quickly. So we need to be praying for that context. But I wanted to let you hear a story from one of the places that you may not be much aware of. There's a little place in Africa called Eritrea. And it's number third on this list, this little tiny nation. And I wanted you to learn a little bit about it through one story. So there's a video posted. All you have to do is go to the nation and click on it, and it will give you a video and some information. First of all, we'll look at the video in a minute, but I want to kind of keep scrolling down, John. It will tell you things like who the leader is and what kind of government they have. How many people are there in a population of 6.8 million people? It is estimated that there are 2.5 million Christians, people who would say they're Christians. Yet it is a country where persecution is rife. Now that ought to tell us something. One of the things it ought to tell us is that these people desperately need us to be lifting them up. and us to be aware of what's going on in their nation. Here's the summary of what's going on there. It's Islam and Christianity, persecution level extreme, source of the persecution. It says dictatorial paranoia, Islamic extremism, easy ecclesiastical arrogance. Boy, what a combination. It says Eritrea entered the World Watch List top 50 in 2002. In 2004, the country jumped into the top 20. The Eritrean regime is absolutely authoritarian and intolerant towards any form of association, dissent, and free expression. The government's attempt to control all religious institutions culminated in the deposing of the Eritrean Orthodox Church Patriarch, who has been under house arrest since 2007. Eritrea has also consistently supported the rise and spread of radical Islam in the Horn of Africa. In the international context, it is also important to take note of the fact that Eritrea is one of the two African countries designated as country of particular concern by the U.S. State Department because of severe violations of freedom of religion. The situation in Eritrea is also contributing to the global refugee crisis. One refugee stated that the country is almost without its youth. Some of them are in the SAWA Defense Training Center, and others are escaping the regime through every possible outlet, and the country has become uninhabitable. This is why Robert P. George and Thomas J. Reese from the USCIRF, I'm sure some acrostic that I'm not familiar with, should Eritrea's track record on human rights crimes and religious freedom warrant a referral to the International Criminal Court at The Hague. So if the world's paying attention to that, this is not just minor stuff. So how can we pray? The great thing about this site is that every time it presents you with a situation, it gives you a little suggestion. I hate to use suggestion, but several points of prayer that could be followed. So praying for Christians who are imprisoned, okay? Pray that the Holy Spirit would comfort and call Eritrean refugees who have fled the country, and pray that President Afewerki, who would find true life and fulfillment in Christ. So let's watch the video, then we're going to come back and we're going to do this praying.
If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? In Helen's case, every day for 2.5 years, she woke up on the floor of a jagged metal shipping container inside a prison where she was beaten and tortured regularly. But one of the most incredible stories for me is her response to a beating that very nearly took her life. You see, Helen had been writing notes of encouragement and sending them to fellow prisoners, putting scriptures on them that she could memorize. And the guards came to her and they said, "Helen, where is your Bible?" And she said, "I don't have one." And they said, "Is it in your head?" She said, "Yeah, it's in my head." And they said, "Well, we're going to have to beat it out of you." They proceeded to grab Helen and they dragged her to a courtyard, placed her in the middle, and started to beat her with wooden batons. What she does next has single-handedly changed my Christian walk forever. You see, in the middle of this beating, Helen stops and looks at the guy hitting her and says to him, "I do not hate you, for you were just carrying out an order. But you need to know that I'm carrying out an order too. And that's not to renounce Jesus. So carry on." I mean, when they were finished beating her, they simply threw her body back into the metal shipping container. And as she lay on the floor in the container, she began to sing the following. "Thank you for the cold nights. Thank you for the hot days. Thank you for the hunger, for the sickness. Thank you for the bugs that bite my body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you." thankfulness. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about what role thankfulness plays in your everyday? You see, I ask God for a lot, but in comparison, I thank Him for very little. The more I think about people like Helen Bahani and the persecuted church, the more it begins to dawn on me that it's actually reversed. You see, they thank God for almost everything, and in comparison, they ask Him for very little. And this is because they're not following an institution called Christianity. They're following a living God. We're following a living God who walked the earth and who today walks the earth through His Spirit. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, and the level by which we measure it should not be based off a set of rules or expectations and buzzwords, I guess, created by this Christian pop culture. It should be defined by Jesus Christ, who walked with broken people, loved the unlovable, stood in the face of religion, led with a character and set of principles that He would not compromise for anyone or any deal. Didn't seem to care about things like brand, fashion label, return on investment, number of friends on Facebook or followers on Instagram. And didn't mind looking awkward if saying no meant the right outcome was achieved. And on top of all that, loved a dying and broken world with a passion that could not be filled, stopped, watered down or contained. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who ultimately laid down His life so that a sinful, broken, and dislocated group of people could have eternal life with Him. And for that, I'm forever thankful.
Kind of humbling, isn't it? Puts things in perspective. So I want to spend a moment or two. John, go down to that list again. Helen's story is from 2007. Here we are in 2016, 9 years later. But this is what we need to be praying for in this place, amongst these people. So, somebody volunteer to pray, lead us today for Eritrea and its people. All right, thank you, Michelle. Father, I ask You to also intervene. Lord, I pray that men who consider themselves to be unconquerable, that, Lord, You would humble them. Not for humility's sake, Lord, but that, Lord, You would stop unjust men in their tracks. That, Lord, You would confront them with the self-centeredness and the evil that they've inflicted on others. That, Lord, they would have a glimpse into the harshness that they have allowed in this nation. And Lord, I'm asking for a change. Lord, every one of those who have considered power and control to be their ally, Lord, they still are people who have been hurt, people who have been lied to, and Lord, they need Your Spirit to reveal the truth to them. And Lord, I pray that for their president, President Afewerki. And Lord, I'm praying that You would reveal Yourself. And that, Lord, whenever they see You, that he would experience conviction. Lord, for those from this nation who have left, their home, left their families, I ask, Lord, that You would help them to find allies and find favor. That, Lord, they would not continue to suffer Lord, sometimes the refugee camps that they flee to can be just as oppressive as where they came from. Lord, I'm asking for true peace for these people. Lord, I am praying that they will trust You and that, Lord, they will find that there are people who love You and serve You who will be their friends. Lord, I'm asking You to provide, to bind up their wounds. And Lord, for every life that has been marred by this violence, that Lord, You would show them the truth of Romans 8:28. Let them see blessing and fruit from their suffering as they become more like Jesus in ways that I can never understand. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The next thing that I wanted to show you after you see the watch list, again, we could spend all our time together clicking on any one of those nations, any one of those places, and we would hear and find information about what's going on there, what kind of persecution, how long it's been going on, the current condition. So I encourage you in your own time to just go to that watch list and start doing some clicking on what's going on in those places. As far as my brief exploration, this is the most complete one place that I've seen that has more things that are going on around the world that are just right there in front of you so that you can see what's going on and you can learn more than doing Google searches for probably for several days. So we're going to go back for just a minute. We're going to go back up to the newsroom. And whenever we go to newsroom, if we scroll down a tad, we see on the right-hand side what it calls featured posts. Those are the most recent stories that they have posted at the site. And I want to look at the first one for just a minute. It's victims of Boko Haram violence. And I want to look at that. It was posted earlier this year. But we all know and have heard stories in the news of the over 200 young girls that were in northern Nigeria that were captured and taken away. This story is sort of a follow-up on some of that that was going on in northern Nigeria. So John, if you'll kind of scroll down a tad. Here's what we have posted. It says the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram appears in the news daily with their most current plot of destruction, and their attacks are often aimed at Christians throughout Nigeria. These three individuals have been personally affected by their attacks, those pictures, and here's their stories. The first one is James. He was a father of one of the girls that was kidnapped by Boko Haram back in April of 2014. They have still yet to be returned. He says, we were able to recently meet with him to pray and stand united with him despite the fear that he's reminded of daily. The second one is a woman named Lydia. She's a survivor of the Boko Haram attack in the northern part of Nigeria in Gobi State. The Islamic terrorist group tends to plan random attacks, often affecting the innocent, in order to brew a sense of terror and anxiety in the region. Miraculously, amidst such a nightmare, she still believes and has hope in Christ. And then Esther, at the hands of Boko Haram, she has now become a widow. Her husband would not deny Jesus, even to the point of death, and that brings her joy when her mourning is overwhelming. So John, if you'll... I can't remember if there's something down lower than this, if you'll go. No, there's not. Okay. In this case, I just wanted to remind you that we need to be praying for those young girls. The stories are that many of them were married to older men as young as 6. And our minds can wander with whatever possibilities are, in that. And I don't want to elaborate. Somebody like to pray? We know people who live in Nigeria. They live in the southern portion, and they're from the southern portion, and this is the northern portion, which is much more influenced by Islamic extremism. But that's not so far away. That's like talking about Tennessee for us. Amen. Now I want to go to number 2 on the featured post, which is about a pastor in China. And I want you to hear what's going on, because it's not just, oh, it's a pastor in China. So John, if you'll move that down. Recently, Pastor Han, pastor of a church in Chiang Mai, China, was brutally murdered by North Korean secret agents. Sources revealed that he was hacked to death. The purpose behind the murder was to provide a warning to Christians in China who actively assisted North Korean refugees. In addition to this warning, the Chinese government has warned Chinese and Korean pastors to refrain from involving themselves. This warning has affected American pastors in the area as well. Special prayer is needed, and this is a quote, for the safety and protection of local Chinese Korean workers, says an Open Doors spokesman. Our ministry in North Korea is also being threatened by these developments. However, we believe Jesus' promise that the power of the enemy will not overcome the Church of Christ. So while coming in the latter half of our World Watch list at 33, China still faces great persecution. However, God is bigger than any trial we face. Pastor Han's church and family has been devastated by the recent events. Yet even in the midst of their great sorrow, they do gather daily, day and night, to pray and fast. Keep them in your prayers that they are able to peacefully mourn his death. Pray that God will provide a new pastor for the church. Pray that for protection of other Christians on the Chinese-Korean border and surrounding areas. And pray for the Christians of North Korea. Pray that they will experience the power of God. That would be tantamount to what goes on our southern border. Someone crossing the border with the intention of killing someone in order to instill fear in Americans because they were doing something to help people who were in Mexico. So who would like to pray? Amen. But there's another video that I know exists on this site, and I'm trying to remember where it is. It is a video that is about Muslims being confronted with Christ. We've talked about that before. Okay, and I'm trying to remember where I actually saw that. That's great. Well, I will promise I will find that video and we'll show it to you. Because you need to hear the good stories. We have focused this morning mainly on what evil people can do and how people who serve the same Savior we serve are confronting that evil. And when we see the story about somebody being mistreated or killed or beaten, there is still part of us that says, we lost. And that's not true. One of the things that we discount far too often, I believe, is that there is a promise. The promise is that all those that lose their lives for Christ's sake are the ones who are going to be here when He returns for 1,000 years. And we just write that off as wishful thinking or a great story or a hopeful future. But that's concrete. That's real. And God is in charge. So we're praying And we are praying that if it's God's will, that they be delivered. But we're praying even more powerfully that God do remarkable things through the lives and the love and the commitment of these people to Him. Yes. We keep thinking that we've done something special because we don't suffer the way they suffer. No, I'm not saying, okay, I'm not really saying us, but I'm just saying American Christians in general. We've got it backwards. We need to have It's all right. We need to have an awakening of what it means to follow Christ in our country, because it isn't warehouses. It's not big warehouses with a lot of bodies, and it's not flashy this and flashy that. That's not biblical. Evil has long tendrils. Our job is to be humble and to pray and to follow Jesus. Church is the people. And we need each other desperately, because that's the only way we're going to grow. But we don't need church to be entertained. We do not need another entertainment avenue. And that's part of what we struggle with, is we think it's about being entertained. And that is one of our sins in our nation. I think the thing that was brought out in the video that we did watch was a sense of genuine thankfulness for everything, even trial and pain and trouble. And when we can come to that point, I think our relationship is then a bit deeper. So I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Lord, I ask that we would place our sometimes ill-developed preconceived notions about what it means to be strong or great or important, and that, Lord, we would be humble before you and come to you and intercede for our brothers and sisters who many times are interceding for us, and their prayers, Lord, are precious in your sight. Lord, I ask that there would be an awakening amongst your people in this nation, that, Lord, it would roll over the face of this nation, that people would return to a God who loves grace and mercy and humility, that believes that there is power that can change lives. Lord, I ask that we would rise to your call in our lives, and that, Lord, we would have a bigger perspective on what you're doing in this place that you've placed us, this great world. Lord, we are blessed, and we do have great responsibility because we have been given much. Lord, help us to take up the responsibility that you place on our lives, that we might intercede for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the reminder. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we pray in His name. Amen.